We pick it up in verse 8, and the Holy Spirit gives us a statement of something that just is true. And it is that Jesus, our Savior, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That He never changes. Jesus never changes. And so, when we look around and our circumstances change from day to day and from year to year, this year here at the last couple of months of 2018, you can look back and maybe you are in a different spot this year than you were last year. I know I sure am. Maybe you're in the exact same spot. Maybe things are very similar, but maybe they're very different. If you were to look at your parents' generation, things in their life were drastically different. And your grandparents, things in their life was drastically different from them. Listen, things change. The world changes. People change. But nothing of Jesus has changed. And we didn't read this, but if you were to look at verse 7 talks about heroes, having heroes of the faith. There are people that all of us have in our lives. They might have been Sunday school teachers when we were children. They might have been people that invested in our lives when we were teenagers. They might have been folks that we knew at some point in our life that we just looked up to as just godly people. And so they're heroes of the faith for us. All of us have those people in our lives. I know that I sure do. And here is the temptation. Here's why the Holy Spirit is writing this down for us. Because we look at those heroes in our minds from perhaps years past, and we see how God has worked in their life, and you're tempted to wonder, okay, I see how God worked in those people's lives, but things have changed drastically in the world since those people lived. Does God still do that? Is God still doing the same types of work that He did 100 years ago? Is God still the same? Those people, they believed this and they trusted God for this, but I just don't know. I mean, the world has changed. Can I still trust the Lord in that way? Here is the challenge. The challenge is to believe that Jesus really is the same. He really does never change. And so that while everything else may change about us and our situation and our world, while everything else may change, Jesus never changes. What is true about Jesus will always be true about Jesus. That He never, ever changes. Now, look at verse 9. This becomes important in verse 9 because in verse 9, the Holy Spirit is warning us of a danger. And the danger is to be carried away by varied and strange teachings. So then, if Jesus never changes, and what is true of Jesus is always true of Jesus, then what cannot be true is something that is different. What we cannot allow to happen is we cannot allow ourselves to fall into believing something that hasn't always been true. Well, you know, this year, circumstances are different this year. And I don't know, I've experienced some things this year that really make me kind of question whether or not the Lord still works like that. No. You hold on to that. That what is true about Jesus is always true about Jesus. And we need to be careful about sliding into something that changes, about believing a change to what we know to be true about the Lord. And within the danger, within the warning that He gives us, He shows us exactly what He's talking about. And now He is going to give us a specific warning. This is a specific way that we may very well be tempted to change our thought about Christ. Now, before we look at that, let me tell you what's happening here. We just read, just a few minutes ago, before Shirley and Steve sang and Lisa played, before that, we read the whole passage. And so you guys know that at the end of this passage, the Holy Spirit is going to show us how thanksgiving is the sacrifice that God wants. How being thankful for what God has done. That's the end result. That's how our heart is supposed to respond to what God has done in our lives. But what the Holy Spirit is doing here, and this is why I came to this passage this morning, because we all need this. What the Holy Spirit is doing is He is showing us what builds thanksgiving in our hearts. What is it that grows a heart of thankfulness? And what will keep us from a heart of thankfulness? And what kind of heart of thankfulness does the Lord want? What is it about a heart of thankfulness that pleases the Lord? And is there such thing as maybe saying that we're thankful, but not in a way that pleases the Lord? Yes. And so what the Holy Spirit is doing here, right here in Hebrews 13, is He is showing us, hey, listen, let me show you where a heart of thankfulness comes from. Let me show you the dangers that will keep you away from the kind of heart that God is looking for. And so He says, what you need to know, you want to get to a heart of thankfulness, then what you need to know is that Jesus never changes, and what you believe about Christ can never change. And here is one way that you will be tempted to change what you think about Christ. And it is this. Verse 9. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. What's he talking about? Foods. You talking about Thanksgiving? Like Thanksgiving dinner? No, listen. Here's what he's saying. He says, it is good for the heart. It's good for our hearts to be strengthened. Another word that you could put in there is to be encouraged. To be enabled. To be empowered. He's saying, listen, it's good for our hearts to be strengthened for the day. To be encouraged for what God has given us to do and enabled. It's good for our hearts to gain strength and encouragement from grace. It's good for our hearts to be encouraged by what God has done in our lives. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. What God has given us in terms of His Son, in terms of His love, in terms of adoption of us as His sons, in terms of the presence of His Holy Spirit as our shepherd and guide, in terms of His Word as our instructor and teacher, what God has given us, the power that the Holy Spirit gives us in our lives to be more and more and more like Him. It's good for our hearts to be encouraged by what God has done for us. And then He gives us the contrast to that. Well, okay, if I see that, I'm thankful for what God has done. Well, what might I be tempted to be thankful for, to be encouraged by, other than what God has done? The contrast to that, He says, is to be strengthened or to be encouraged by foods. Now, that's an interesting concept. What He is referring to is He is referring to Old Testament diet laws. And when He says to be encouraged by foods, what He's talking about is not just foods. He's using foods and the Old Testament diet law as an illustration for being encouraged by our own works. If you were to look back over the course of the year and you were to say, you know, I did a pretty good job at keeping those diet laws. I went a whole year, no bacon, no sausage, no country ham,
I did good this year.
And you begin to kind of feel good about yourself because you look back and you're pretty pleased with the way that you've behaved. And
no sausage, that's tough, y'all. I went through withdrawal on that one.
And you begin to feel good. Your heart is strengthened and encouraged
by the pride that you have in the way that you behaved and the things that you did. What the Holy Spirit is saying here is he's pointing out it's better to be encouraged by not what we have done, but by what he has done for us. Do you guys see that? It's better to be encouraged not by what we have done, but by what he has done for us. It's better to be strengthened by grace. So then to look back over the course of a year, or over the course of a month, or a week, or maybe even a day or an hour, and to say, man, Lord, what you have done for me. God, I would never have been able to do that. God, the very fact that you love me, I don't even know why. I don't know why your son would die for me, but he did. Why in the world would your Holy Spirit love me and stick with me and never leave me, even though, oh God, why would you empower me and enable me to be more like your son? God, you know who I am naturally. God, but you did. It's better for the heart to be strengthened by grace. But the Holy Spirit knows we're tempted to begin to think, that was a pretty good year. That was a pretty good week. I did some good stuff this year. I was good. Let's keep going. He says in verse 10, he says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. But what he's referencing here is he's referencing the priests who, at the time that Hebrews was written, were still in Jerusalem and were still going through the ritual of sacrifices and the ritual of offering the showbread on the table of the altar within the holy place of the tabernacle. And they were offering showbread. They were offering bread that had been baked before the presence of the Lord as a sacrifice. And what he is saying is that there are blessings for us, meaning blessings for those who are encouraged by grace. There are blessings for us who have been encouraged not by what we do, but by what he has done for us. There are blessings that come in looking to Christ that those who look to what they have done know nothing about. There are blessings that come by being encouraged by grace that you will never experience by looking to be encouraged by what you are able to accomplish. We have food that those who look at their own works know nothing about. In just a few minutes, we're about to partake of some food that's meant to be a picture of God's grace in our lives and the sacrifice that Christ made for us. I'll talk about that some more here in just a minute. But let's keep going. If we ever were tempted to think a little more highly about ourselves than we should, if we ever were tempted to let our focus shift off of what Christ has done for us and onto the things that I have done myself, if we ever were tempted to let that thought change, here is the fix. Verse 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Here's what's happening. So he's referenced those who follow Old Testament diet laws and the priests who go through the ritual of offering the showbread and the tabernacle at the altar in the temple in Jerusalem.
And the sacrifices that they make, the lamb that they take and they cut its throat, and they offer it as an offering to the Lord. But as that lamb is offered before the altar, do you know where the refuse goes? Do you know where the leftovers go? They go outside the gate of the city, and they're burned outside the gate. You don't burn trash inside the city. You always burn the trash outside the city. That's where the trash is taken. That's where the toilets are. Outside the gates of the city is where the refuse goes. And he says, what we need to understand is that Jesus, or that the offerings are burned outside the city. And then verse 12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his blood, suffered outside the gates. Christ came, the grace that he has given us as a sacrifice for our sins. He died, he shed his blood for us, and he was crucified outside the city gates. The Son of God was taken out with the trash. That's what that verse is pointing out. The Son of God was taken outside the trash. At my house, we have a trash can in the kitchen. But that trash only stays there less than 24 hours. Because the trash goes in the garage. I have a big trash can in my garage. I don't want the trash collection in my house. I want it in the garage where I don't have to smell it. The trash goes out. This verse is saying that the Son of God, in order to be a sacrifice for our sins, the Son of God was taken out with the trash. Now watch this. Verse 13. So, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying that if the Son of God was willing to being taken out by the trash so that he might be a sacrifice for our sins, if it wasn't even our sins that sent him outside with the trash, do you know what that means for us? That means that we ought to be able to bear the same reproach that he bore for our sins. We ought to consider ourselves worthy of nothing more than being taken out with the trash. I want you to think about that for just a second. Remember what he's doing. The Holy Spirit has told us the truth is nothing of Jesus ever changes. But the temptation, the danger for us is that we might be tempted to begin to think differently about Jesus. And the way that we would be tempted to think differently about Jesus is that rather than trusting in what Christ has done for us, we might be tempted over the course of a year, we might be tempted to begin to think a little too highly about the work that we do. And so our focus shifts from what Christ has done what we have done. And the Holy Spirit here is reminding us, oh no, don't do that. What you need to remember is that Jesus was taken out with the trash, and we need to consider ourselves no better than that. We need to bear the same reproach, the reproach that Christ had for my sin. I must bear the same reproach. And so Chad Brady, naturally, Chad Brady, naturally, is worth nothing but to be taken out with the trash. And that's true of you as well. What is it that will keep us from thinking not about what he has done, but about what we do? And it is remembering that there is nothing good in me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved
a wretch like me. This passage, the Holy Spirit is bringing us back there. The Holy Spirit is reminding us, here's where we need to stay. Here's where our minds have got to camp. And it is to be strengthened by grace, to be encouraged by what Christ has done, considering ourselves worth nothing, but only what Christ has done for us. To bear His reproach. Verse 14. For we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city to come. Here's the idea, is that, listen, we're not looking for props in this world. We're not looking for props and attaboys right here in this world. What we're looking is we're looking to please the one who will sit on the throne in the next. We have a city which is to come. We want to please the Lord who will be king in the life after this one is over. We're not looking for props here. We get no props here, or at least we shouldn't. We're looking simply to please Him. And then watch. When we see, okay, there's a danger. There's a danger here. And the danger is that Jesus never changes, but I might begin to change the way I think about Jesus. And the danger of changing the way I think about Jesus is that I might start thinking a little too much about the good that I do. And if I do that, then I have forgotten that it is the reproach of my sin that sent Jesus to the cross. And really, naturally, there's nothing good about me. I deserve nothing more than just to be taken out with the trash. But if my heart is strengthened by grace, then look at verse 15. Through Him then, because of what He has done for us, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Where does thanksgiving come from? Where does a heart that praises the Lord and lips that give thanks to His name, where does that come from? Let me caution you. That doesn't just come from looking back over the year and making a list of all the good things that have happened to us. That's not the kind of heart of thanksgiving that the Lord is showing us here. But it comes from a heart that looks back over the year and sees the things that have happened and realizing in our own heart, you know what? I'd have spoiled every single one of those things. I'd have blown all of those things up. I'd have missed them. I'd have ruined it. I'd have spoiled every single one of those things. But oh God, Your grace in my life. See, thanksgiving is the product. True thanksgiving is the product of humility. True thanksgiving is the product of humility. There is a danger in our hearts that even when we say, thank you, Lord, we know our own hearts. I know my own heart. And there is a danger to say, thank you, Lord, and then to look back, and even with the same breath that we say, thank you, Lord, to kind of feel good about what I have done, rather than with humility say, oh God, You did it. You saved me. You sent Your Holy Spirit. You enabled me. You taught me. God, You led me. God, what would I have without you? That is where thanksgiving comes from. Let me take this one step further, because I know our hearts. How would you know? How would you know if your heart is sliding down that road? Let me tell you a very clear way that we can see if our hearts are sliding down that road of being strengthened by our own works and not being encouraged by grace. Here's how you will know, and I'm going to close with this. You will know that your heart is really, you might be saying, "Thank you, Lord," but your heart is really being strengthened by what you have done. If along the road you're tempted to say thank you, Lord, after the blessing comes, but not to depend and cling to the Lord before it comes. Do you know what I'm saying? If you see yourself simply responding with thanksgiving after the blessing comes, but not clinging to the Lord for the help until it comes. If there is no yearning within our heart and no desperation for the Lord and His guidance and His empowerment and His enablement and for His grace, before I see how this thing's going to play out, but I just kind of walk down the road and live by my own wits, and then after it happens, oh, thank you, Lord. No, let me challenge you to look at our hearts and see if we really are strengthened by grace and if we are walking dependently on the Lord for everything rather than just saying thank you to the Lord after it happens. That's the way we can tell our own hearts. But the Holy Spirit is showing us here. There's a danger. Jesus never changes, but our thought about Jesus very well may change. And here's how it may change. Are you encouraged by what we have done or by what He has done? Being encouraged by what He has done is better. And that leads to thanksgiving. Father, God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would apply this to our lives and our own thoughts, and that You would reveal the nature of our own hearts to ourselves and show us. God, if we are encouraged by our own works, God, I pray You convict us of that, and that You would grow in our hearts the humility that brings true thanksgiving. Oh, Father, we are so thankful for Your grace. We are so thankful for what You have given us, though we do not deserve any of it and would ruin it if we had it. Oh, Father, I pray that You would give us hearts of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And it very well may be that you are here this morning and there has never been a time when you have really looked at what God has done for you when He sent His Son to die on the cross to be taken out with the trash outside the camp because of your sin and my sin. And if there has never been a time when you have trusted Christ, who is your Savior, who came and who died and who shed His blood outside the camp for you, and I beg you to trust Him today. To stop attempting to be good enough, because it will not ever work. When we stand and sing here in just a second, I'm going to be here in the front. Come ask me about that. I'd love to share more about what that means. Brothers and sisters, we need to let the Holy Spirit search our own hearts. And we need to let the Holy Spirit reveal to us if our hearts really, if we really are more encouraged by what we have done than dependent on what He has done. And if maybe we just say, thank you, Lord, but really as we're walking, we're just walking, doing our own thing and not really depending and clinging to the Lord, not really strengthened by His grace. And that won't produce a thanksgiving that pleases the Lord. We need that humbleness, that dependence. Maybe it is that the Holy Spirit is showing us, oh man, I need to be a little humbler. I need to recognize my own failure. I need to be more dependent. I need to seek the Lord more closely because I am desperate for Him. If that's what the Holy Spirit needs to do, then let Him do that this morning. Let Him do it. Let's stand and sing.
Number 606.
Be seated. I'll ask the deacons to come forward and prepare the table.